Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 104. And we got to verse 19. And again, this entire psalm, if you read it through, it's the creation psalm. It's God's administration over all of His creation. Verse 19 says, He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Now verse 19 has to do with the luminaries, in the universe. The sun, the moon, the stars, they fill their appointed slots of time every day according to God's power and His purpose. Another testimony to the fact that He is upholding all things by the word of His power. A guarantee that I can make you is that tomorrow the sun will rise in the east. It will set in the west, because it's the way that God has ordered it. As I thought about creation today when we were planting beans and we were looking over the garden, and I marvel at how God can bring things forth. But all the power of the sun. Think about all the rain. We had 2.5 inches of rain last Friday and Saturday. All right? And it was already dry enough for us to be able to plant beans today. Tomorrow we're going to be putting tomatoes and peppers. And then later on tomorrow evening, God willing, 4 more rows of corn. We are heading the right way. You know who has made that all possible? The Lord. He dried up the ground enough so that we could plow it up and put the seed in it. He's the one, if it's going to bring forth anything, He's the one that's going to bring it up. He's the one that's going to make it grow. Now, grant you, like Brother Cockrell said, we are going to have to help the Lord out a little bit. It doesn't just get from seed to your table without doing some hoeing and weeding and picking and shucking and cleaning. There's a lot of work to gardening, isn't there, Joe? Ron, did you know that? A lot of work to garden. But it's worth it. Especially when you look at the way that prices are right now. All across the board, man. Everything is up. And I said, Joe, we're not going to need all these beans. He said, you don't know. I said, well, we'll can them all. Last year I made pots and pots and pots of fresh green beans. And I'm looking so forward to it. God, through the seasons, the way He makes things work, He's the one that brings all that about. How many people do you think today gave God thanks for the food that they had, for the seeds that are growing out there? We ought to give Him thanks every day. He controls the sun and the moon. The changes in the moon's shapes are for measuring times and seasons. The Hebrews used the moon to compute their months and their feast days. The brightest orb that we can readily see rises and sets according to God's timetable. And you know what? God, in His wisdom, will make that sun burn as hot as He wants to on the earth. And there's not a thing that men can do to change that. Not a degree. Men can't change the heat of the sun, not even a smidgen. God's in control of that. It's foolish to think that you can throw a lot of money out there and that's somehow going to cause the sun to not be less hot. Have people lost their good senses? I mean, that's silly. It's just absolutely silly. And yet Al Gore is a billionaire. He's been touting this stuff for years. And none of their prophecies have come true. Again, God's in control. You know what else? That sun that rises every morning and sets every evening, that moon that you see with all the stars and all the luminaries, you realize that makes everybody accountable. That is the general call of creation. Look over at Psalm 19, verse 1. You see, He not only uses the sun for our benefit physically, He uses it in the spiritual realm as well to make men, women, boys, and girls accountable. There is a Creator. His creation every day makes men responsible. Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The darkest parts of Africa, the creation is declaring there is a God. You are accountable to Him. The speech of the heavenly luminaries go forth every day saying loudly, clearly, God Almighty reigns. He's in control of all of creation. You need to repent of your rebellion, your wickedness. The creation. That language goes out every day. Their line is gone through all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of the chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and His circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Every single person throughout creation is responsible. Do you see why they want to destroy the teaching of creation? Why the atheists, the agnostics, the Marxists, they want to do away with this idea that there is someone that you're accountable to? That's what's a big part of what's wrong with our society. People have not even an understanding that there is a God, that He is the Creator, that they're responsible. We're living in a day and age of anarchy. People think that they can do what they please, when they please, how they please, no matter how it affects other people. It's lawlessness. Let me guarantee you something. They may get away with intimidating Supreme Court justices here in this earth. They may get away with killing people in the streets. I'm going to tell you something. God sees it all. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Everything is naked and open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. God sees it all. He is the judge. He does right. And if men don't repent of their rebellion, their wickedness, their ungodliness, their immorality, their hatred, their murder, their violence, their whoredoms, God, the Almighty Judge, they will stand before Him at the great white throne and they'll be cast into the lake of fire. They may not get justice here among the courts of men that can be bribed and paid off, but not so with the God of heaven. He sees it all. The poet said, "So like the sun may I fulfill the appointed duties of the day, with ready mind and active will, march on and keep my heavenly way." Be great to be as consistent as the sun, wouldn't it? You count on the sun every day. Wouldn't it be great if we... There's a verse in Judges. All I can tell you is it's in the Bible. But it talks about... It's an exhortation for believers to shine like the sun. Remember when I preached that message? Remember that one, Joe? It's been about 20 years ago. Shine like the sun. Dick Ballmer remembers it. Anyway, wouldn't it be great to be as consistent as the sun and as faithful as the sun each and every, and productive as the sun each and every day? Verse 20, "Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth." You know what? I'm thankful that God allows darkness. What would happen if it was sunny all the time? You'd never sleep very good. Boy, when I go to bed, this is one of my pet peeves. It drives Tammy crazy. I can't have anything on. I can't even have the blue light, like on a clock or something that shines in them LED clock. I put something over it. I like to have absolute, complete darkness when I sleep. I mean just black darkness when I go to bed at night. You say, well, what happens when you get up? When you do this your whole life, you become skillful. You learn how to walk in the dark. Unless, and this has happened a few times, Tammy puts her slippers, they're not slippers, but they're sort of slides things people wear. She puts them slides out just far enough to let me know she's still there. And sometimes I'll kind of get a little unsteady when I hit them slide things. But I'm glad that God allows darkness. How thankful we should be for God drawing the blinds so that we can find rest for our weary body and soul at night. I'm looking out at you, some of you folks tonight, and you're going to need a good night's rest tonight. I can tell you're yawning, you're weary, you're tired, and you're wondering, is He going to let us out a little early tonight? And the answer is no. I got just another verse or two I want to get through. You see, we need not fear natural or providential darkness. They're both appointed for our good. Can you get to the place where your trust in God is so great that no matter how dark things may appear, you can say, "Our God reigns. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Wouldn't it be wonderful if we, when there's providential darkness that comes into our lives, that we can say, "God has a purpose in all this, and I'm going to trust Him." You see, they're appointed for our good. while we're resting, that's when the nocturnal animals, the beasts of the field, do their work. You hardly ever see raccoons during the day. And if I had my way, you wouldn't see them at night either. And I'll tell you what, you can't let them things get a taste for corn in your garden. They'll take it. They'll take everything you've got. I've noticed there's not nearly as many coons this year. I hope I'm not speaking out of turn or anything, but there's not nearly as many this year on Buffalo Creek. I've been working on them for years. But there are other beasts of the field. Aren't you glad? Now, I'm glad that we don't have lions here. Or mountain lions. Somebody said they saw a mountain lion on Buffalo Creek, didn't they? Or was that just a bobcat? A mountain lion? I think he... Okay. But you know what? You don't see them during the day. How about lions in the... They work at night. You know, that's for our safety. Have you ever thought about that? Men do their work in the day. God's made those lions to want to do their work at night. That's God's goodness and His protection. Verse 21. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. When they're hungry, they roar as if they were seeking provision. And notice, they even understand that they receive their meat from their Maker. They cry out to God and they seek their meat by His appointment. Now notice this, the strongest, the king of the jungle can't survive apart from God. Apart from Him giving them their meat. And then verse 22, the sun ariseth, they gather themselves together and lay them down in the dens. We ought to learn a lesson from the hungry lion. Let us be faithful to pray and to do what we know is right. The lions are rewarded with meat as they do their due diligence. May we learn that true Christianity is composed not just saying, but praying and doing. And if God can interpret the roaring of the lion, then we can rest assured that He hears and understands and answers the prayers of His children. Now in verse 22, every dawning of a new day is a signal for the beasts, those nocturnal animals, that we would consider extremely dangerous during the day. I mean, what would you do if you took your trash out on Monday evening or Monday morning and a lion comes walking down the street? Well, you'd be scared to pieces. Yeah, they sleep during the day. See? Every dawning of the new day is a signal for those beasts to retire after a night of hunting for rest and for digestion of their food. God is the greatest lion tamer. Remember, He made those lions not to be hungry when they threw Daniel in there in the lion's den? One of my favorite accounts in the Bible. He stood up. He was going to keep praying. They said, "We're throwing you into the den of lions." He went in there and just pillowed his head on their mane. Probably was petting them that night. The next day, the king comes by thinking Daniel's going to be devoured. And Daniel says, "I'm here, O king. God is preserved." The king gathered up all of Daniel's accusers, brought them there. He brought Daniel out, threw his accusers in there, and it sounded like a bag of Cheetos. Those lions just, but all of a sudden, they got their appetite back and began to eat those accusers. Oh, how I love that story. Now, they returned to their dens out of the way of man. Again, lions are subject to God's control. He has control over everything. Now, through the light of Christ's gospel, the roaring lion must retreat in darkness. And when the Son of Righteousness arises, the devil and all his false religions must also flee. Now, you know what? I wanted to get to verse 23. We'll just do it next week. How about that? All right.